Good evening and welcome to the show. You have found your way to Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles with Jay and Alan. I want to welcome you this beautiful Wednesday. And it is 8 p.m. Pacific or just after that. And I know it's kind of late on the East Coast. And so if you're joining us tonight live, we're so grateful to have you. And our topic tonight is going to be talking about the unknown. So babe, say hello and give us the breakdown.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. And yes, we are going to talk about the unknown, which is a process of its own. It can be anything in life, from work, relationship, family affairs, anything, unknown period, which is following with fear. And then we have to just trust and believe, and the process to intuition, to listen to your guts, and then take an action about it, do something about it, step into the change, and then just see the result. Good, bad, or ugly, doesn't matter. You're going to get a result. And then you like the result, yay, congratulations. You took a chance. You don't like it, you got to take another chance and change everything and start all over again. And that's called life.
That's called life, right? And so we want to talk about that whole process because I know for me, it's been a developing process because the people pleaser version of me really had a hard time with change in general, and let alone like the big unknowns of life. Like I remember having to figure out what my college major was, and my stepdad was asking me when I was like 16, and I needed to decide by 17 or 18 to be able to get into a school. And I just remember being like, how on God's green earth am I going to make this decision? I ended up making the decision based on what I thought everybody wanted me to do, based on what I wanted to do, because I honestly didn't know what I wanted to do. I had a hard time with that. And so I developed almost like a resistance to change and a resistance to letting in the new. But I finally realized, well, if I ever want to have anything new and different, that's how it gets here. It gets here through the change, like it or not. So I learned to stop resisting that so much. Babe, do you have like a sort of history with dealing with the unknown, like where you saw it from a negative perspective, or have you always kind of had a good outlook?
I have a lot of stories about the change and unknown. Well, yes, I mean, just take our relationship. It was unknown. We didn't know. We met each other. We both took chances, and here we are after 2 years almost. And my job, my profession, my career, I was very afraid. I'm a hairstylist, and I was always very afraid to jump into it because I'm like, oh my God, what if I mess up somebody's hair or makeup? And then I was encouraged by friends and the salon owner that I'm working now, that just to go check it out, check a hair show. And I was resistant. I didn't want to do it, but I did it, and I fell in love as soon as I walked in. I saw the atmosphere, the energy. I fell in love with it. And this was like 18, 19 years ago. So here we are. You know, unknown is very scary. Unknown, because we are creatures of survivors. We are survivors. We want to protect ourselves. So the number one thing when we talk about unknown is the fear. So imagine yourself in a dark room, a basic room that is just dark. You stay there for like 15 minutes, 30 minutes, you are going to go insane. You're going to get paranoid, you're going to see images, you're going to freak out because it's unknown. Your brain is looking for something to protect yourself. So that would be the fear in us, because a lot of times, just imagine when you're working for a company, big, small, doesn't matter, and they all of a sudden announce, oh guys, just for you guys to know, we are hiring a new manager. Everybody starts talking. Everybody's freaking out, and they are trying to first resist it. Oh, why do we need a manager? Why do we need somebody this and that? And who's going to be, who's this person? And we fight it. We always resist the unknown, but sometimes it's a great thing. And we just have to trust the process, which is very hard for a lot of us. and trusting the process of it, trusting of that change, what's happening, and believing that something good will come out, just putting it out there.
Well, I want to talk about that part because, like, that's easier said than done, I know, from my own experience. But I also know that it can be very valuable and helpful. And the way that it was shown to me one time was like a tornado picking me up, carrying me a certain distance, and then putting me down in a specific spot. And what the guidance was that came from that was, even though from my perspective, it feels like chaos and wild and that there's no like rhyme or reason, from the universe's perspective, the tornado picked me up very specifically from a certain spot, and it dropped me off in a very specific spot. So even though I didn't necessarily see it like that, you know, down on the ground in my own life, it did give me a certain kind of peace in knowing that I was not alone in what I was facing. And I also, there was a part of me that was also in control still. Even though the human part of me had no control in it, there was still a part of me, my spirit, my soul, that I was connected to, that gave me a certain peace to trust.
Exactly. But that's what I'm talking about when I talk about believe. Believe in something, mm-hmm. that it is happening. It is happening for a reason. And the more you resist, the harder it gets, actually. And that's my thing. I mean, that's what I think. I mean, you trust the process. You believe in it. And also, we all have an intuition, your gut feeling. What does that tell you? And always when you follow it, I read it somewhere. It says, don't listen to your heart. Don't listen to your brain. Always listen to your gut. Your gut feeling will tell you what to do.
Well, I've heard that too. I feel like that might be true for some people, but I honestly, because we all feel our intuition in a different way, I like to see it more, like at least from my own perspective, of like a heart-mind. So it's not just my heart, not just my mind, that there is this part of me that is the observer of all the parts. So I can feel my guts, I can tell what my heart's wanting to say, and I can also tell what my heart or my mind wants. And I'm the observer in the middle, having to make the decision of how it's actually going to go. I mean, that's where I've gotten to. I have not always seen it this way, but that's where I'm at now.
And then, yes, yeah, so, and then you take the action. Mm-hmm. You go for that change, you embrace it, and you work towards it, and then you just wait for the result. And results are not always positive. It doesn't have to be positive, but if it's not positive, the way I look at it is a life lesson I learned.
Well, to your point, it's feedback. You know, we can make it negative or we can make it positive, but it's really at the end of the day, just feedback from the universe letting us know, are we on target or no? We're not so on target for what it is we set out to do. And I do want to back up because what I was trying to get at was, what has your process been like to trust yourself and to build that trust in, to build that faith? Because I know it didn't just, I mean, maybe it did just, you know, you just have had it, but has it been something that you've had to like work at or build or get to know?
So I think when in the past I was doing a lot of overthinking about things and wouldn't listen to my really deep intuitions, and I would overthink, and that the results would never come out authentic and real because I was trying to do something for the wrong intention. I was going out with the wrong person to make that person happy, or I would accept a job just because I hated it, but just it was, at least it was something. So it was always the wrong approach. I think at this point of my life, the basic way I can explain it is, you know, when you write a test, you go to an exam, you sit there and you do the exam, scan you on writing it down. And then they're like, okay, take the last 10, 20 minutes and make sure that everything is correct. Most of the time, the correct ones, we erase it and we mess it up. So that is where I don't overthink. Whatever I marked on the first time, that is my intuition and I go with that. And it goes to exactly to the right direction, even if it's a wrong direction. Honestly, it's a lesson to learn, not no regrets. That's what I felt. That's what I did. Why would I worry about that?
Well, and that's the process of learning how to listen and go for that. That's the step of faith, because we all get that. And then how many of us explain it away, or it doesn't make sense, or, oh, you know, that's going to make me go outside my comfort zone. You know, whatever it is, whatever the excuse that's keeping us from actually fulfilling it. That's the part, that's the step of faith, overcoming that and doing it anyways.
But that's the thing though, what is the comfort zone? What comfortable, why are we comfortable? Are we comfortable with the same manager? We don't see new results. Are we comfortable with the same partner if it's not working out? Why is it comfortable?
It's the devil, you know. It's the
well, yeah, so okay, so if that, then it's not comfortable. It is, it is comfortable to deal with the pain that we are familiar with. And how about if we pull the plug, no pain at all? And I know a lot of people, if they love the drama, it's not because they love the drama. They're used to the drama. They're used to we all have been there. I've been there. Oh, God knows I've been there. And it is not easy. But honestly, change is, I think, I'm learning this now. I mean, I'm 52. So I'm learning this barely now. Change is not as scary as we make it to be. It really is not. It is just, you pull a curtain aside and you see what's behind it. Either you like it or not. You don't like it, close the curtain and move to the next one. So it's very simple in everything. If you don't like your work, look for something else and quit this job. You are not happy in your relationship, tell your partner you're not happy in the relationship. There is no changes. You put the ground rules. You're not happy with it. So there is no problem just ending it. And a lot of times, I know when we talk about changes, oh my God, if I leave my partner, my husband, my wife, there are kids involved, what are we going to do? If it is awful, if there is no way out, what do you think the kids are feeling like? How many times have we heard, oh my God, when I was a kid, my parents were always fighting, always this and that. Why do you want your kids to experience that? So it is a change. It's change. It is a personal thing. A lot of times it has nothing to do with the kids. It has nothing to do with the property or the money. It really is. Those are all, I think, honestly, I don't want to dismiss anybody's thoughts and stuff. It's my opinion. But I think a lot of times we are very afraid of change. I was in a very abusive, bad relationship for, thank God, not too long. But I didn't end it. Oh my God, I was stuck to that relationship. I was going back to that relationship because I wanted a relationship, and I knew that. I knew how to deal with that drama until I'm like, let's try without the relationship. Let's see how it goes. What is the worst case scenario? So I took a leap and I just stepped out of it, and I'm the best thing I did for myself.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head. It's like you stayed, and it kept going. It kept happening. And you finally left, and it finally stopped. It's like, I think sometimes we are all waiting for those of us that are afraid of change, we're waiting then for the universe to change it for us, or the other person to change it for us. We're waiting for somebody or something to come in and change it, except for if we just did what we felt on an intuitive level to do to stop the madness, that's when the magic happens.
That is the actually key word, madness. What do they say? I think, was it Einstein was saying that?
Doing the same thing
and expecting a different result.
Yep.
That is insanity. All of us do it. Everybody does it. But let's break the pattern and do the change. And honestly, that's life. Disappointment is life. Sadness is life. Depression is life. We all get through that. And there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And what is the latest, like in the last 5-10 years, as soon as you go to a doctor, they're like, do you feel upset? Do you feel angry? Yes, I do. Well, because I'm a human and life is happening to me. And then they pull out the prescription pad and you get a prescription. Now you're on a medication. Because we are afraid of change, we are overanalyzing the change, we are freaking out of change. Change is good. It is colorful. Change, you paint your own canvas of your own life. Instead of doing one color, do it colorful. If you need to change things, you need to change your furniture, change your throw pillows, change your hairstyle, do it. Like, I have a lot of clients, sometimes they come in, they're like, you know, it's so not me. Why can't it be you? Go a little bit lighter. I'm not saying crazy dramatic pink, purple, blue hair, but change it. What is the worst case scenario is going to happen? You are going to hate it. Then what's the next step? Back to dark or back to lighter. It is, those are the changes that we are so afraid of doing it. If you don't like change, which I absolutely understand, do small changes, very small changes. And you see what a beautiful feeling it is. So liberating.
Exactly. And that's the amazing thing about this is we don't need to make these sort of sweeping huge changes where it's like all or nothing or life and death. It does not need to be extreme like that. Very methodical, consistent changes will lead us somewhere, just as big sweeping changes do. And oftentimes when we never hold on to the intention or the movement long enough when we're doing those big sweeping changes to actually get the results we're looking for. So to be honest with you, it's the small, consistent, methodical steps that you take while you're plugged into your intuition that are the most powerful steps that will lead you where you want to go. And I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. We open the phone lines tonight. You're welcome to call in. We want to talk about this particular topic, and we want to talk about how it's relating to your life in this now moment. You can call us by dialing 857-232-0155. You'll then have to dial an extension 870-303. Then you're going to hear Alan and I talking, and then you just have to let us know you are on the line. And we'll bring you right on in. We'll have a conversation, and we'd love to hear from you. The second way that you can join the conversation is through the chat. The chat is on a private Facebook group. You can get there by going to 12radio.com and clicking on the chat button on the left-hand side of the screen. It opens up a new window. Send over that invitation if it's your first time, and then you will see our banner at the top of the page, Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles with Alan and Jay, and you'll see the comment section, and that is where the conversation's happening. Renee has already said hello and is wishing us a wonderful evening. Hello, Renee. We're so grateful that you're with us.
Hi, Renee. How are you? We're grateful. Yeah, we're very grateful that you're here with us and joining us tonight. Yeah, so yes, please call us and let's talk about this and let's see your perspective and your ideas of changes and what do you think? Honestly, so like, for example, in our life, me and Jay, we took a lot of chances. We still are taking chances. We are living together now. And he moved in with me here, or I call it, he stays with me. So see, that's a huge change for me. I've been on my own for a while. Now, if I call it, you moved in, that scares me. So I take a little step. I'm like, you stay with me. And then when I'm ready, I call it a move in with me. So my labels make me feel safer where I am and what I want. And we talk about things. And I have my place, my way. I am a little controlling, or more, I would say, territorial, I would say.
Specific.
Oh, thank you. So he's nicer than I am. Specific. And he's very respectful of that. He's very understanding and and considerate. So we talk about things, and it is huge change for me. And the same for Jay as well. He left his place of my years that he was living, and now he's here with me. So, and it's great. Honestly, it's wonderful. I like it when I come home, he's here. But again, it's a change. Is it going to be frustrating? Are we going to be overwhelmed? Maybe. There are going to be days that we are going to be overwhelmed. People are married for 60 years, and they don't want to see each other's face for half a day, for a whole day. And then they get back together because they miss each other. So these are all given things. Basically,
well, they are. However, it's how we meet them, it's how we face them, it's what choices we make when we're faced with them that I feel like makes all the difference. Like, it has been a tremendous experience with Alan, but that's because Alan and I spend time creating a safe, solid space for each other to communicate and to walk in together. That's something that we both have to put effort into. Like, if I was just the only one doing that, then it wouldn't work. Or if Alan was just the one doing it, it wouldn't work. It would break down. So part of it is, when you're in a relationship like that, where it is one-sided, then there's the get real, come to Jesus moment of, okay, well, what am I going to do with this? Am I going to keep beating my head up against the wall, or am I going to leave? You know, and I'm not saying that there's a right way or a wrong way. There's the way you do it. But are you going to continue to stick around and deal with complete nonsense when you don't need to? Or are you going to do something about it, even though it might make someone feel bad? And even though it might even hurt you in the short term, but in the long run, it may be the actual better, quote, healthier choice.
No, that's so true. It is. It really is, because either you have, I mean, the communication is the key, especially in a relationship. And also communication is the key with yourself. Like, if you want to do personal changes, life changes and stuff. So, like, you want to move somewhere, you want to go out of state. A lot of people are like, oh my God, I want to leave California. Oh, California is so bad. So what you do is think about it. Is it worth it? Is it going to work for you? And you tell, you have a conversation, you're communicating with you, with yourself, and put the facts there, and then do what you need to do. You want to get a new job. Think about it. Do the process. Do the, I don't know, look at the equation, pros, cons, and then do it. I think it's mainly the fear. It's always the big what if. How would you know if you don't jump into that change? What difference does it make then, what if? You never jumped in it, so it doesn't matter. Oh, I was afraid. Oh, what if I move here and something bad happens, or this place is not going to be good, or this company is not going to be good, or this, what if I move forward and meet a new person? What if they are worse than the before? Those what ifs are the biggest anchor for us that doesn't let us take one step forward, but keep us either stagnant in where we are, or it can even pull us back.
It can keep us,
pulls back, and then we are where we are, and then later in life, because we didn't want change, we are like, oh my God, my life, oh my God, poor me, poor me, poor me, because nothing has happened for me. You make it happen. You make it happen. Change is scary for all of us. The unknown is scary for all of us, but you got it. You can do this. I can. All of us can do it. Try it. It feels good.
Well, and also get help too if you need help. Like, I have support. Alan has support. We have it in each other, but we also have it in friends and family. So, and professionally. It's the thing that we've had to keep the line open to, because I can tell you, I would not be where I am if I did not seek professional help and didn't have mentors and didn't have people that were already further down the road with experience and wisdom to help me along the way, because I'm I'm a bumper car bumping into things over here. And I'm very intuitive. I'm very smart. I'm very aware. And even with all that awareness and stuff, it's not always enough. It really is important for us to involve other people. Like, even as the introvert that I can be, I know that it's important. Like, we're part of a cosmic community. We're also part of an earth community and a city community. And so I can disconnect from that, and I can pull myself back from that, or I can be a part of it. That part is up to me. I'm either choosing in or choosing out. Same for you. So we can be afraid to connect because of how we've been hurt, or we can trust that how that might have been in the past is in the past, and we're going to give life a new chance for ourselves in the future. And that's the risk. You know, there's no guarantees. It may or may not be true. But like Alan said, if we don't do anything about it, then we're not, in essence, giving ourselves a chance.
So one of my very close friends, she told me this one time, and she said, the worst thing that you can experience is regret in life. So she told him, and you imagine you're in your deathbed at age 100, and you're regretting things. Oh, I wish I would have done this or this job, or I wish I had met this person. I wish I had told them how I feel. And we all heard that. Or even in regretting 5 years, in 3 years. And then some of us, we regret things, but we have an excuse for it.
So I believe Raven is on the line. Raven, are you there? Come in, Raven. I see you on. I see you on the conference calling line, but maybe you're muted, or maybe I have you muted. No, you're not muted. Raven, can you hear us? Well, Raven, thank you for trying. I'm going to disconnect you and maybe have you call back, because for some reason I'm not hearing you. Let's see. Well, I'm not sure what is going on, but try back, because for some reason I see you, but I just am not able to connect with you. All right, let me check in the comments and see how you all are doing. Watson is like right here at our feet, enjoying this conversation, and he's taking it all in. And I just want to continue the conversation, and I just had a moment where I'm like, oh, where are we at? Where do we want to go from here? I'm so used to having all of your all's feedback, and I don't know what happened to Raven, so I apologize for that, but maybe she'll call back and we'll be able to communicate with her. So I want to look at how you visualize and or how you pray, or both, when it comes to asking for things to come into your life that are not here yet. Do you have any kind of process for that aspect of dealing with the unknown?
I think when I ask for something, I try to connect. Like, I'm just mentally kind of, I put myself in that space that I'm asking for it, I guess, but I trust that it will happen. And I'm not pushing it. I'm not forcing it, like, oh, please, 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 no. I know it's gonna happen, and my prayer is, I'm praying for the best outcome. Whatever it is, certain clients, certain people in my life that come in my life, certain events, like we have an event this weekend, and I pray for it, it's gonna be wonderful, and I know it's gonna be wonderful because it always is. There is no reason to worry about it. Basically, you put your positive foot forward in the universe before the event or whatever it is happens.
Well, and one thing that I'm hearing in what you're saying is to not have expectations on, like, the time that it's going to happen or how it's going to happen, but yet still very confidently putting out there what you want to happen. Yes. But letting it go, you know, it's like an archer. You shoot your arrow, but you don't grab it out of the air. You know, once it's midair, it's, you know, it's already happening. It's in motion. And it's part of the trust, is trusting that, okay, you prayed, you had your moment, and now you can go on about your business. Like, you don't have to sit and wait till it happens, or you don't have to sit and keep praying about it till it happens. You know, I know that might be a little bit different in, like, a medical crisis situation, but even still, it is like, I pray for the highest and best good as well, because I also acknowledge, like, I have my human perspective, but that is not the same as God's perspective. Like, God, the way I see that is the part of this whole experience that oversees it all from a, not from a guy with a clipboard, but more from a, I mean, I can't even explain it. is that, like, that's how big God is for me. I don't feel like we can explain it, because we would be minimizing it. But at the same time, there is something else that you said that I want to go back to. And it's this idea of keeping it simple. That's something that I first heard my mom say it to me, and it really, like, dawned on me then. And it wasn't the first time, but it was the first time it really hit me. And it was because I had made this whole complicated story. And she's like, Jay, like it's not all that complicated. It's what's simple about this. It isn't the part where you need to like make up a whole, you know, get all up in your head about it and make a whole thing out of it. If you're doing that, this is where I've learned. I'm a little jumbled, but what I learned from that is that when I'm doing that, I'm in my head. When it's simple and it's clear guidance, that's when I know I'm plugged into my intuition. But when it's complicated and there's a bunch of like steps and I got to control people, that is not my intuition. That is my ego. That is me trying to control it. Do you have like a way that you navigate kind of the difference?
I do. And so when I go buy something or I want to do something, honestly, if I would overthink, it will make it so hard for me. And I do that sometimes when I overthink, then it becomes so difficult to make the final decision. I start involving other people and ask their opinions. And I don't like their opinions. I asked them, for example, I asked Jay yesterday, I was creating this jacket and I was just creating stuff. So I told him, I said, so what do you think? It's final. And he's like more simple than I am. For me, more is less. And he's like, well, it's a little busy. I'm like, no, it's not. I asked the opinion. He gave his honest opinion. And I'm like, no. But what I do is I try not to overthink. For example, if I'm going somewhere, I'm deciding to go to this certain restaurant. They're like, oh, how about this one? I'm like, you know what? Wherever you guys want, I'm fine. For me, it's the little food that we're going to eat and the ambience and the friends. But if I go dive in deep and overthink about the foods and the Yelp reviews and what kind of cocktails they have, but the ambience is not all that, good luck for me choosing a place. So I go quick with an intuition. I'm like A, B, and C, and I give me the options. I will throw it back at you. I take full responsibility. If I don't enjoy it, it's on me, not on you. So yeah, I don't go, even my stories, when me and we talk, you know how it is. It's just, I go quick to the bottom of it. I don't go around the bush. I don't overthink. I try not to overthink. It exhausts me and the outcome is crap.
Oh, so it looks like Raven's back. I hear you, babes. And that's like, I hear that feels like a well-oiled machine kind of process that you've got to. Which is huge because that is like a dream for some of us. And so Raven is back. She called in again. So let's see. Can you hear us, Raven? Come on in, Raven. Do-do-do. Let's see. Raven, can you hear us? I see. Oh, hold on. Okay, there. Are you here now? Ravens, there
you can hear you.
Okay, now we can. We were having a technical thing where now I can hear you. Okay, so hello, Raven, welcome.
Wait, hi guys, how you doing?
Well, we are doing great, Raven. My
technical problems are rubbing off on you. Oh no, I didn't know I was contagious.
I don't know, it's the full moon or what is it? Yeah, it's going on, it's going around.
So, I've had fits with my computer, so I had to do a rerun tonight. But anyway, I think this topic is a wonderful one, and so I thought I'd call in and say hi. And you guys have went through some big changes, so I heard you say it's going along good, habitating yes. Now. And,
yes, we're.
Exactly. How's Watson?
Watson is doing great. He's literally right between us and he's sleeping right next to Alan. He is very excited
good.
To be always right in between us. He loves to feel like that, feel the protection. And how are you doing? Is there anything about this topic that you wanted to add to or talk about?
There's one thing that times has brought me comfort when I've been in some great change. And usually change is something, and if I initiate the change, I'll put the brakes on. Kind of do, have to go through a lot of resistance, a lot of self-sabotage in the process. And if it's a change that I didn't initiate, well, you can bet a lot of resistance. But one thing that's also that's brought me comfort is that just having faith, because the fears that I've always had around things, none of that ever manifested. When I remind myself of that, because so easy to think along a negative line, thing that can go wrong. Usually none of that ever happens, right?
So yes, so normally I think they say that normally when you think our brain, I was watching this video, it said that our brain is one of the dumbest organ in our body because it really tries to protect us. So what the overthinking creates is a worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is only there for us to find the solution of what if to preserve us. So 95% of the time, those scenarios never ever happened. And also, so let's say you're sad and you keep and do a fake smile. You're by yourself. Fake smile. Keep fake smiling. All of a sudden, your mood changes. But on the other side, if you sit there and think of something really, really devastating and sad that happened to you many years ago, you're gonna start sobbing or crying maybe. Because your brain doesn't know if it happened right now or it happened 20, 30, 40 years ago. So our brain does play tricks with us, but you take control over it. And if you are thinking, what if, and oh my God, this is gonna be horrible and this and that, worst case scenario, so what? You have a solution for worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario not doesn't happen always. It's not always the worst thing that happens.
Well, and to that point, I like to fill that with another option for my brain. So I like to come up with, okay, what's the best case scenario? Like, how do I want this to go? And I get that in my head. I get that image going because then at least it gives me something to actively do versus just sit with the worst case scenario and in essence be like, continue to worry about it or to feel stuck with it. I do feel like it's in essence like a co-creative vote. Like our attention, our intention, and our attention, and where we're placing it, are all a part of deciding like what kind of experience we're gonna have, as well as like what kind of feedback we're gonna get from the universe. And so that's a it's something that is seemingly like innocuous, like that we shouldn't have to pay attention to, but it is the kind of thing that makes a big difference. So.
And also, yes, when you are thinking about these worst, I call the worst case scenarios big bumps on the road that I put for myself. And not only it slows me down, sometimes it stops me. And so I think you are a very strong person and you know how to handle things. If something that you made a choice, you made a decision, and it doesn't come out the way you want it to come out, nothing is permanent. You can always pull back and again change direction. That doesn't work, change direction. For God's sakes, people get married for five times, six times. So I think that for little changes in our lives, we can do that. I mean, those marriages are huge changes. Look at Elizabeth Taylor, seven marriages. Zsa Zsa Gabor, nine marriages. Why? Because they couldn't have a boyfriend. They had to be married to that person, taking a chance, going in it. And whatever happened, like people buy companies and hoping that it's gonna be great, but then they lose a lot of money. They're like, okay, whatever I've left over, I'm gonna invest in this other one. Life never stops, but if we don't adapt to the change, we stop our lives.
Oh, that's a
I think
great
that we
point.
chart a lot of that stuff before we come in, your major things. So I take comfort in that at some point I knew what the hell I was doing and just go with it.
Well,
Know what I mean?
to your point, Alan, something that he says a lot that helps me is why is this happening for me? And especially to the things that seem challenging or like kind of insane or just ridiculous, instead of getting caught up in the ridiculous part of it, it's flipping the script and just getting right to, okay, why is this happening for me? You know, what is...
Instead of saying, why is it happening to me? So, and then also... Also, when we talk about the comfort, what is the meaning of that comfort? What does that even mean? Does it mean stability? Does it mean no change? Does it mean I am used to this pain, or I'm used to this hard, whatever it is, or I don't want to change? Why? Is it like amazing? Is it paradise that you don't want to change it, or you just don't want to change it because comfortable? The word comfortable, I've been there, and I still sometimes get there, and I always remind myself, for example, I changed my wall color, but I like the other one. I'm comfortable with that. What does that even mean? Why not change it? What
is the sense of anxiety?
Okay, anxiety, yes. There is a clinical anxiety, and I think we sometimes get ourselves all worked up, and we get anxious. But when it comes to the comfort part, jump from one cloud to the next cloud, just like a little unicorn. Just feel comfortable for the change. Just jump for it. Make that your purpose in life. I want change. Even if I don't need it, I'm going to create change. I want to cut my hair a little shorter. It's going to grow long. I want to go darker. I want to change my lipstick color. I want to, you know, I always wear jeans now. I want to start wearing skirts. And that's what it is. That's what comfort and comfort is. Break the little cycles in your personal life, and then you feel so liberated. You will see, oh my God, I can do this. And I used to date the same person in different body because I knew how to handle a manipulative person. I knew how to handle an abusive, emotionally at least abusive person. Until I'm like, I never tried a kind person. I never tried a good, like a decent, committed person. So when I tried it, I'm like, oh my God, it feels good. I have never, ever traveled on my own until a couple of years ago when I traveled on my own. I'm like, what is the worst case scenario going to happen? I get lost. There is police everywhere. There is a cell phone. There is a Google map. What the hell? Let me take a chance. And I was very nervous. I definitely was out of my comfort zone. I went. The best experience ever in my life. So honestly, every time I think I was out of my comfort zone and I did little changes, the outcome has been impressive and pleasantly surprising.
And Raven, I know you have some experience. Feel confident. With that. Yeah, you have experienced that very thing.
Getting on an airplane by myself, yeah, after swearing I would never get on one ever again. And it had been, my gosh, I think 1992 is probably the last time I was on an airplane prior to last July. I got on an airplane. Well, I missed my flight the first time.
But you late, still haven't had
and I had to take a flight the next day.
Yeah. I'm only like Alan said, it's like we can go down a road and feel like it's not working or like we didn't say what we wanted to say. It's like, well, then we try again. And so your trying again was going on the next day and getting on the next plane. You know, sometime trying again is calling again, not just letting one call or one try be the thing. You know, it's how we keep moving through the discomfort or the part that feels like rejection, even if it might not even be rejection. We just feel like it's rejection because we're not getting what we want right away. So I just give you a lot of props for being willing to go through that and continue to do that, you know, even today.
It changed a lot for me that I did that. My self-confidence really came into a whole new level that. And missing the flight was just that resistance that Kelly talks about, you know. I was my own worst enemy trying to get things. I couldn't get anything done. My focus, I was all over the place. I felt like somebody had punched me in the stomach. My anxiety was so high. I had a headache all day. then there's the last minute, figure out what the airport to get to. I never even thought ahead to research that on the computer and figure out if I had to go to Terminal A or Terminal B. Of course, the wrong one, and then I missed my flight.
But you know what? You're absolutely right, because that year, a couple of years ago, when I went by myself at the airport, this was like you had to have the forms filled out for COVID, and I had done it all online, and I arrived at 3 o'clock at the airport. Nobody was there but one worker, and I said, "This is it. It doesn't let me to check in." He goes, "You need to fill out the forms." I said, "I did." He goes, it's not complete." I said, "So where do I go?" He goes, "I cannot help you. That's a personal thing." So, and I had to board in 2 hours and nobody was there. And I was freaking out that I would miss my flight and everything would go to nothing because I had hotels, I had the flights from one city to the other planned. So now when I travel, I do get a little nervous. Well, what if there is a hiccup in the process? And I'm like, you know what? What if there isn't? What if it goes very smooth? Honestly, sometimes we create it in ourselves because we had a bad experience and we are like, oh my God, this is gonna happen again. I'm gonna go through that again. And what if it's not? And if it happens again, okay, so if I miss a flight and my hotel gets messed up, is that the end of the world?
Exactly. Well, and even to your point, we on our way to Italy, we ended up going to missing our not missing
Oh
our
my God,
flight.
that was a very interesting story. Listen to that.
We had to get diverted because somebody died on the flight, and it ended up diverting us like 5 hours because it took some time for them to reroute our flight and for them to put a new flight plan because we had to land in Canada and get the body off the plane. And so that was all unexpected. So my point is to like kind of like what Alan was saying, or like what Raven is mentioning, like we can get to like how it affects us and how awful it is and get into the weeds with that, or we can get to the solution. Like we can get to like, okay, what do we need to do to handle this? And in our case, it was just waiting, waiting for the airline to do what it needed to do, waiting for us to get back on track. And we still ended up getting to Italy. We were just, 5 hours later than we expected. So it worked out. Raven ended
What
up
a
getting on another
crazy
flight.
thing.
What?
I said, what a crazy thing to have happen.
It was. It really was.
But you know what? It became a dinner party story. So it became something that we can talk about and exchange the stories, and it's sad for the person who passed, but it was interesting and a very weird experience for all of us. So not everything has to be horrible for us. And experiences are different. Accidents do happen. Crashes do happen. I'm not talking about airplane crash. Hopefully that never happens. But flight delays do happen. Hotel cancellations are.
Cancellations happen at midnight, and you get
All of that,
stranded
all of
somewhere for
that,
2 days.
all of that.
Yeah.
But the
What happened to me on the way
destination,
home?
like this year, we were planning to go to Europe, and changes happened in our lives and our work schedule and move planning to move and all that. So the old me, I would be like, oh my God, I'm so bummed. But I'm like, we were planning to go to France. I'm like, France has been there for hundreds of years. I think it can wait one more year for us to go visit. So we planned something else, to go somewhere else. And I'm totally okay with that. So a lot of times, life happens. I remember I told my sister, I said, oh my God, there is construction going on in my condo. Everywhere is dust and dirt, and it's so frustrating. And she looks at me, she goes, boo-hoo. Wow, you're alive and things are happening for you. I'm like, yeah, but all the dust. She goes, aren't you getting the condo that you the dream condo that you wanted? I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, they're fixing it, building it. She goes, okay, then it has to go through a process. And then I'm like, you know what? Why am I complaining? Why am I all bent out of shape? So life happens. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be depressed. It's not okay to get stuck in that mood. So when you're sad, what I do is when I'm sad or I'm upset about something, honestly, I look at the timer. 15 minutes is my pity party time. If I need to do it, 15 minutes. After that, I need to snap out of it. And when the doctor says, oh, are you sad sometimes? Are you depressed? Yes, because you're human and you're alive. That is part of our feelings. We all get that. I don't care if you're a billionaire or you're homeless. We all get sad. Mm-hmm. We get anxious. We get worried. We get anxiety. We get depressed. We get insomnia. That's totally normal. Nobody is alone. We all go through that. But there is always that beautiful light at the end of the damn tunnel that we talk about all the time.
Raven, we want to thank you so much for calling in tonight and joining us. But it's already the top of the hour.
Thank you.
We had a great time talking with you. And want to send you off. We hope you have a fabulous evening and that you enjoy your time with the cats.
Some kittens, if anybody would like a kitten. In the chat.
If you're in the St. Louis area.
Raven's all right, you guys have a great night.
All right, you too, Raven.
Okay.
All right, bye for now. Have a good evening. So again, everyone, we want to thank you for joining us this evening for Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles. We had so much to talk about regarding this topic. We want to hear from you with what else you want to hear us discuss, like what are the burning questions you have about life, about relationships, about your own development process as a human. Let us know and we will get it on the docket for the show. Babes, do you have any final words as we send ourselves out of here?
Please embrace change, and because you are all courageous, just dab into your own intuitions and into your gut's feeling, and then get your courage, do the changes that you need to for your life. Have a wonderful, wonderful night.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much again for joining us. Have a blessed evening, and we'll see you back here next week.